now time for us to begin. So good to see everyone out this evening for share night. If you are guests, welcome. You are honored guests, and we are so thankful that you are here and that you are interested in spiritual things. Tonight is a special night for us. It's a night where we concentrate and focus and meditate on God's word, a variety of different topics. But tonight, we are going to focus our minds on speech in a way in which it has an impact on those that hear. And this title is just simply taken from a portion of scripture. And before we lead into the beginning this evening, as always, our young people come forward. This is a point where they can be trained in a public way to allow them to develop skills of speech, song, and prayer. And so this will take place at the beginning, and then we will have a formal call of worship later on this evening. First, I want to impress upon our thoughts before we go into the actual reading of the scriptures, I want to call our attention to the creation. In the beginning, God made. And we find that in the first chapter of Genesis over and over again, which to me signifies the power of speech, specifically the power of God's speech. And we are told within scriptures, or we're reminded in scriptures, Psalms chapter 33 and verse 9, he said, "He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." The power of God's speech. We're reminded also within the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God." Our Lord, our God, created all that we know, the heavens and earth, in 6 days. Part of that creation, he created man. And in so doing, he endowed man with a very special gift. He gave him the gift of speech. We also find within the Holy Writ that there were often times where God would communicate with man. Think about it. Out of all the creatures on the planet and all the wondrous gifts that God has made, he endowed man with the power of speech. God has spoken, and mankind obviously is made in his image. Likewise, he has given us this great gift of speech. My question for us to meditate on this evening, as we look through these verses, is how best should we use that precious gift of speech given by God? Well, I'd given out all of the assignments earlier today in preparation for this evening. However, it is apparent that there are some that weren't able to make it later on this evening. So I'd ask, would you read this for us?
Yep. Ephesians 4, verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification,
I'll be reading from Psalms chapter 37, 28 through 31. And it reads, "The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip."
Psalm 64, 2 through 4. "Beware of sharp tongues. Hide me from the secret. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bittersweet speech as their arrow to shoot from with consummate at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear."
Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we should worship you. We should say that your word is faithful and hopefully is what you said. And please hope everybody will go to heaven in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer. Dear God, thank you for everything in this world and our friends and the families, and please help the sick and make sure everybody is safe, and thank you for the Sloan's family and comfort them and make sure that they are okay. And please help the ones that are sick to feel better. And thank you for your son and for him dying on the cross. And thank you for all the families and for them to be okay. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Nine fifty-seven. If you have it, let us see. This world is mine, just not passing. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I am home in this world anymore.
Please. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for
friends, family, and food. Thank you for the congregation to come here and worship you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. And thank you for the building that you gave us. Thank you for the families. Please help the sick. In Jesus' name, amen.
Low in the grave he lay. We'll say, sing all three verses. We'll say the verses first, and at the end we'll sing the chorus.
Proverbs 10 through 19 through 21, and he reads, "When there were many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding."
Proverbs chapter 10, verses 30 through 32. "The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted."
Proverbs 18:20-22. "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord."
Number 38. Number 38. And we have it by the same.
Seeing Brighton, he's giving him a thumbs up over here, man. So even the young guys are encouraging the young. Just a couple things. I wanted to follow up on some things that Tommy had mentioned this morning about several people that had been here. I wanted to make sure he did mention Lee. And I want to re-mention Lee and let people understand that it is not my work and solely my work. And my wife is involved with the gym. Josh and Amanda Nettles are involved at the gym. Mike and Angela Coffey are involved at the gym. And a lot of these people are doing a lot of neat things. CrossFit Gym creates just a kind of a unique environment. People sometimes, you know, you want to tell them, you guys go home because I want to shut the doors and go home too. You know, when the workout's over, they hang out and they stay around. And there's been good conversations. But as Tommy was even talking, I thought, you know, really the only thing that I've done concerning those people, I mean, obviously I've tried to influence them, but I have been praying for these people at my gym a lot. And I thought, that's where the work's coming from. You know, it was really cool to think that those people, I've been praying about their hearts. I've been praying about what they're thinking. I've been praying about, you know, the questions that they have. I've just been praying. And it was really cool for me to leave this morning. First of all, making sure you know it's not all me. So make sure Lee and Carol and these other people, you know, they're in the influence too. But I think the biggest piece is probably talking to the Lord about the heart of these people. It has to be. There's no way that those prayers have been prayed and the results are coming just because of our human efforts. And I challenge you to continue to reach out to those people. When they are here, because you're helping me help them. And I do want to mention this now because there is some other people that I'm working on in this group that they're living alternative, sinful lifestyles. And I'll just be a little bit frank. There's a lesbian couple that's a part of my gym. And they are some great people. And I have talked to them a little bit about the Lord, and I have prayed about them. And I've told Carol, they're going to be Christians. I know it's happening. And I just kind of wanted to give you that heads up. I don't want you to ramrod them and jump down their necks when they're here. But just understand there might be some people that we're trying to draw in that might be a little uncomfortable for us. But they have a heart and they're looking for the Lord. And they have broken lives that have led them to where they are. So if anybody needs the Lord, it's them. And so we might be able to do some great things. We need to be doing that outside of just my influence at the gym. But I just wanted to let you know that I've been praying about their hearts. And I think the Lord has to be credited for what he's doing. They're made in his image. And that's my prayer. I just say, Lord, draw them back to how you made them. And thanks for what you're doing as a congregation. Obviously, I get to hear feedback of what people think about you and what they think about what we're doing, and it's very positive. Continue just to do what we're doing. And I just wanted to offer a prayer for those who are not with the Lord. And another thing I wanted to mention, I thought that was interesting. Kobe saw a sign coming in on another building that said, almost right is always wrong. And he said, Dad, we're not all perfect. He said, isn't that song a little wrong? Is that sign a little wrong? And I said, well, yeah, I think you make a good point. You know, I think sometimes it's good for us to even realize he says we're trying. He says, but we're not perfect. So sometimes those messages are a little off from what the Lord would have us to know. But anyway, let's go to God in prayer. And I'm challenging you to be a part of this for all the souls out there. But especially you can just say the people that are associated with Scott's Gym, because a lot of them they're thinking about a lot of stuff. And a couple of those guys that were here this morning, they are in some bad spots in life. And they've made some decisions that have put them there. Some have been theirs, some have been others. I mean, so it's kind of, they're broken. And that's the time that they'll go looking. So we got some people on the verge at some great places. And maybe we can dump them off to Tommy or Adam and get them to study. I don't want them to think I'm the preacher here. I get to kind of be a member, and it kind of feels a little more natural than me trying to, it's just a kind of a neat arrangement, I think. But anyway, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, giving you thanks for salvation that you have given to us as your people, and the power of influence that we have just as human to human. There's just a bond that is natural and a draw, and when we see that, we begin to realize that it is indeed your design, that the image that is stamped on us is stamped on all of mankind, and it is the image, the likeness of you. Help us live in such a way that portrays such a likeness of you and of Christ, and help us reach those who are made in that image but have maybe gotten away from or never really been directed to understand what it truly means to be like you. And just asking that you be with the hearts and souls of all of those people that are around and about us in our workplaces and our other contacts who are looking for you, and we may be the only eyes or the hands or the ears or the mouth that speaks to them. May we do that through our lives, not just through evangelism and formal studies, but may we live around everyone and every place that we go and everything that we do in a way that shows people Christ, and that they'll see that and that they will be intrigued and want to ask more. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the patience to answer these people in ways that will guide them but not condemn them in such a way that they'll never conversate with us any further, but help us tell the truth in such a way that they'll be motivated to change their lives and move in a direction towards you, and challenge them to get into your book and take it for your word, not because we believe it and not because our preacher preaches it, but Lord, that they see your word coming in our lives, that we can lead them to you. We can help the work here in that path. Obviously, the ultimate goal is heaven. But what great benefit it can be to the work here if we can grow and increase in number. Help us as believers, as we may be approached and be around sinful people, that we be like Christ and we reach out to them and just encourage them to go with you and sin no more. And help us to do that here in the Concord community, that this work will be a blessing to you. And thankful for those Christians around me, specifically in my gym, that are a part of this group and what they're doing and the light that they're shining upon those where darkness dwells. So thankful for your son. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Who has been assigned Proverbs 31?
Teaching kindness. Scripture will be coming from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 27. Again, that is Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 27. And it reads, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Little life, what to see. There's a fire up above, and it's lurking down below. So be careful, little life. God is so good. God is so good. 83.
Nine fifty-seven. We'll be singing the first and third verse.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Good evening, family. I was just thinking about what we sang earlier today. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We sing that pretty often. And it got me to thinking about, if we truly are humbling ourselves, if I'm humbling myself, and do we really mean what we're singing? But today's specifically, I just want to talk about humility in worship. The song itself comes from James 4 and 10, which of course is, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, word humble comes from the Greek word tapeno. I've been practicing that all day. I don't know if that's correct. It's, sounds pretty good. Which means to be ranked below. Means to put away one's pride. And I often ask myself, am I putting away my pride? Am I going to God humbly when I pray? Am I focused on Christ's broken body when we partake of the bread? Am I focused on his shed blood when we partake of the cup? Am I giving as I've prospered? Am I applying the teaching that I'm given on the Lord's day? It's definitely something to keep in mind, especially when we're singing these songs. There's times I lose focus sometimes, and, you know, I'm thinking about, well, am I getting this note right? And, you know, I don't know anything about music, so I'm paying attention to the notes. But we're here for God. Amen. It's the number one thing, it's something we cannot forget. I want us to sing, humble yourselves, and I want to focus on putting our own desires away and truly pay attention to what we're doing for this song and for every other part of worship. Song 745. Humble yourself.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. Jesus is the Son of God.
do believe that I found another recruit. You know I'm recruiting, right? Need as many song leaders as possible. Excellent. Thank you, brother. Who has Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17? Proverbs 19, verse 17. Any volunteer? Okay.
That would be Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, 17 through 19.
What you speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I erred, obviously, on the slide, but I did not want to defraud this young man of his opportunity to read that scripture. So, you have no idea. These little guys get after me.
Proverbs 12:17-19. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
John 8:44-46. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me? Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me?
Is there anyone else that has a word or word of encouragement or song?
Turn to song number 800. As most of you know, I went to Kentucky to see my family during this past week, and while I was there, I had the opportunity to learn a little bit about this song. And it brought new meaning to me, and I just wanted to share what I learned with you. In the 1800s in Ireland, there was a man by the name of Joseph Scriven. He was not a Christian. At that point in his life, he basically had very little interest in God. But as he grew up, he met a woman and fell in love, and they were engaged to be married. Unfortunately, the night before the wedding, his fiancée was killed in a terrible accident. This disturbed him so much that he couldn't stay in that area. So he left, and he moved from Ireland and went to Canada. Over the next several years, once again, he met someone and fell in love and was engaged to be married. A month or so before the wedding, his fiancée fell victim to a very deadly illness and passed away. This broke Mr. Scriven. After that, he left there and came to the United States. And in the course of time, he heard the gospel preached. He gave himself to the Lord. And he became totally dedicated to serving and working for the poor. And I mean literally manual labor, working for the poor. Many years went by, and he received word back from Ireland that his mother was nearing her deathbed. She was a ripe old age at that point in time, and he had no money to be able to get back to her. So he wrote her a letter, and in that letter he included a poem. The poem are the words to this song. One of the ministers where his mother worshiped was a friend of a well-known songwriter back then who wrote many hymnals or music for hymnals, and he shared this poem with Charles Converse, who at the time was producing a hymnal, and he was noted to say later that even though this was the last song to go into that hymnal, that it was first in his heart. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then we're going to go back and we're going to sing all three verses of 800. But I just think it's amazing that through hardship and pain and sorrow, people who draw close to God are not consumed by their sorrow, but rather they recognize what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I sing all three verses. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh,
Number 608, he gave me a song. If you have it, let us sing.
As we enter our worship service this evening, I'll quickly go over the order of service. We'll have a song selection being led by Evan. Opening prayer, I believe Micah Mosley will lead us in that prayer. Invitation by Darren Spies. And the invitation song will be delivered. The Lord's Supper will be offered, and then we will close in prayer.
This is my Father's world. If you're following along in your books, it'll be page number 991. And we'll sing the first and third verse. This is my Father's world.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for tonight. We're thankful for this day you've given us, God, to worship you in spirit and truth and open up your word and just to want to learn about you, God, to want to praise you and to love you, God, the same way you have loved us. Lord, you have given us your best. You've given us your son, and we can't repay you for that, but we can understand that gift and appreciate it and cherish it and obey you, God, and trust you, and have the faith, Lord, that you are looking for, God, and the obedience, God, to trust in you and to get to you, Father, and to obey your will. We're thankful for these songs that we get to uplift to you, Lord, because it takes it out of our hands. It takes it away from us, God, and it focuses on you, because you are the creator and you are so wonderful, God. We just want to shout. We want to sing. We're so thankful for the young men in this congregation. God, help the parents, help us, God, older men, to mold them, God, into what you would want them to be, leaders, God. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for this family, God. I'm thankful for that, Lord. Be with us, God, in this ceremony. As we continue to worship you, God, and uplift your name, help us, God, to just have minds that are focused on you, set on things of above, God. And we're so thankful for your son and what he's done on that cross, God. It is centered around him. Everything is about him, God. Help us to truly remember that, God, and put that into our hearts. Write these commandments in it, God. Help us to trust you and to love you, God, more than anything in this world, God. And we pray through your son and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good evening. I don't need that little stand there. I was going to be funny and get up on it, but it's already moved. So tonight I'm going to be talking about Ephesians 4:29. I appreciate Dwayne Dyer stepping for me last month. I was not able to be here, so I was not able to hear his talk, but we switched months. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that verse tonight. I don't know how many of you have paid any attention to the news in the last few days, but on the campus where I work at UNC Charlotte, we've had street preachers. We've always had street preachers since I was in school there. But it's become an issue again. If you haven't or haven't seen street preaching before, it can be heavy on accusation, light on edification, and borderline abusive at times. That's not to say that many of the things that are shouted aren't true. It's that the delivery of the message itself negates the message. As professed Christian student Brad Henson stated, most of the people here don't know Jesus Christ, and they'll turn away from God forever because of his teaching and preaching methods. Ephesians 4:29 is a verse that would seem to speak to such a situation as this. It would bring radical change in all of our relationships if we would apply it conscientiously. Let no unwholesome word proceed from their mouth, but only such a word as good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. We all have erred with our tongues. James 3:2 says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. While we may never achieve perfect control of our tongues, I'm convinced that if husbands and wives would consistently apply Ephesians 4:29, we would rarely see divorce. If parents practiced this verse toward their children, we would see fewer children rebel against their parents in Christian homes. If we applied it towards one another in the church, we would see fewer churches that would be split over personality conflicts and minor doctrinal issues. As we've seen since the beginning of this study in December in Ephesians 4:23 and 24, Paul taught us that we should put off the old way of life, be renewed in our minds, and put on a new way of life, which is consistent with being a new creature in Christ. Then we moved on in January to talk about putting off falsehood and speak truth in Ephesians 4:25. In February, we moved on to being careful not to let anger spill over to sinful anger, which would give Satan a foothold in our lives, in Ephesians 4:26 and 27. And then finally last month, Dwayne taught us not to steal and to work hard and to give those in need. Give to those in need, Ephesians 4:28. Now, he says that Christians must transform their talk. And this is a lesson of Ephesians 4:29. Transformed speech is implicit in truthful speech, righteous anger, not stealing, since stealing generally involves lying. Future lessons will carry forward this theme. So what we say is significant in this significant area where the gospel will make a huge difference. Just as you can often tell when someone is from their accent, so people should be able to tell that you're a Christian by your transformed talk. Paul is saying that rather than using your words to tear down others, use them to build up others. So what's the problem? So often we use our words to tear down others. To get rid of unwholesome speech, you must identify that you're first using it. The Greek word translated unwholesome means rotten, useless, unprofitable. It is used in Matthew 7, 17, and 18 to refer to rotten fruit. It's used again in Matthew to refer to rotten fish. Rotten speech, like rotten fruit and rotten fish, will not nourish anyone. It will contaminate. It will make you sick. It will smell bad, create an unpleasant environment for anyone who gets near it. So Paul tells us to get rid of it, like rotten fish or rotten fruit. What are some examples we might see? Some might be name-calling, putting down, or trading insult for insult. Often this is done for humor purposes, but does not honor God or build up others. 1 Peter 3:9 says that we should not return insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. Perhaps we use sarcasm or ridicule or mockery. Godly people in the Bible occasionally use sarcasm, ridicule, and mockery against those who are leading people astray. Elijah, for example, mocked the prophets of Baal. Jesus ridiculed the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and legalism. But it must be carefully controlled or it spills over into sin. Or maybe it's griping or complaining. We all have done that. Those in the world gripe and complain about everything. But Christians are to do things without grumbling and complaining, because all complaints are ultimately directed to God. Rather than griping about difficult people in our life, thank God for them. It could be destructive criticism. If our words are not aimed at helping or healing, but only at venting, we are sinning. Proverbs 12:18, which has already been read tonight, says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Sometimes we use angry words. We have all done that, including threats and revenge. Such words are only used to dominate or control the other person through fear and intimidation. Their aim should be to help you grow in godliness, not to get revenge or intimidate. At times, it's all about our arguments, where we seek to win to maintain power. As husbands and wives, we disagree about something, our aim should never be to win the argument, but rather promote godliness in our marriage. We've got to judge our pride and allow Jesus Christ truly to be the Lord of our tongue. Or maybe it's a little bit of gossip or slander. Often gossip and slander speak partial truths mixed with falsehoods to make the other person look bad. Sometimes gossip and slander may be true, but the one we're telling has no need to know the information. Often the one spreading gossip is feeding their pride by being the person that's in the know. And lastly, or maybe not, but just the final example, profanity. I will give you no examples in this building, but you know it when you hear it, and it does not reflect well on anyone professing to be a Christian. Okay, so those are some of the problems. What's the solution? We don't have to leave the verse to see what us as Christians have to do to build up, is to use words to build up others. Words are important. Paul says we should only use only such a word as good for edification according to the need, so that we'll give grace to those who hear it. To build up others with wholesome words, such words must first be in our thoughts. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Evil speech is rooted in evil, in an evil heart, which is why genuine conversion is the foundation of transformed talk. Once these words are in our heart, it builds up. We can build up others by using wholesome words. In Paul's words, what is good for edification? Use words that will help other people grow in their godliness. Some examples of wholesome speech, and we all have some of these: encouragement and praise. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are all doing." Excuse me. Too often we catch people doing something wrong and we criticize. Instead, catch someone doing something right and praise them for it. Appreciation and gratefulness. This is related to encouragement and praise, and it must come from the heart, not as flattery or manipulation. Loving words. Say often, "I love you." Say it to your spouse. Say it to your children. Say it to your loved ones. Someone once said, "If we knew the world would end in 10 minutes, everyone would be on the phone telling someone else, 'I love you.'" Patient words. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says love is patient. This is often expressed not only by words, but also by facial expression and body language. Sometimes we should say, that's okay, you're doing fine. Impatience communicates pride on our part because we're really saying,